This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Back down into the Washington zone with 13 seconds left, and that's going to bring them to their feet here at 7th and F here in the nation's capital. Back in behind the net, the Capitals will call out the dogs as the clock runs down for 2-1, and that's it. Good morning, good afternoon, and good night, Winnipeg. The Washington Capitals are back in the top eight in a playoff spot of the second wild card after shutting out the Winnipeg Jets 3-0, the final.
You can hear the Caps tonight right here on The Fan about 2 hours from right now, just after 7 o'clock. The biggest game of their season gets underway. They'll be dropping the puck in Chinatown at about 7:08 D.C. time. If they win in regulation, their chances to make the playoffs go up 14% to 72.8%. If they lose in regulation, their chances drop below 50% to about 44.5%, according to MoneyPuck.com. But to get a preview of the biggest game of the year on Grant and Danny right now on the BetQL guest hotline, bet smarter to beat the books. Download the BetQL app. Visit BetQL.com. Our buddy, Joe Beninati, you will watch him tonight with Craig Lachlan on Monumental Sports. Joe B., I hope you picked out the big game suit and tie tonight, sir.
I think we're well-dressed, and I actually thought that was Danny doing his John Walton impression to lead into this segment. I mean, it's really, really good. Danny, you nailed it again.
Oh, well, thank you, Joe B. Serious question, though. Grant touched on it. I was actually going to ask this. When it's a big game, do you have like a subset of ties or pocket squares or shoes or a suit combo where you're like, this one matters a little bit more, I'm going to rock this one?
I'd be lying if I said I didn't. I like tonight. It's a little different. But yeah, there's a grouping in the closet that we go to when it's big game time for sure. And there haven't been any games as big as this one tonight. Can't wait till 7:08 gets here. I think it's going to be a great watch and a great listen for Caps fans.
A lot of different directions we could go in talking about this second half that the Caps are putting together. But I want to start with Charlie Lindgren between the pipes. What a brilliant run he's on. He is giving them a chance every single night. Joe B, 7-2-0, 2.02 goals against, .931 save percentage, 2 shutouts in his last 10 games.
Spectacular, and arguably the team MVP. And who would have thunk it from the guy who was slated to be, you know, the backup goalie? Is it going to be like a 52-30 kind of split between him and Darcy? And Charlie's just earned it. He's played so well, so consistently for so long. And when we talk to Spencer Carberry, he looks you dead in the eye and he says, the guys just don't want to let him down. He's been so good to them. He's kept them in every game. He allows them to settle in if it's not their best kind of night. He plays well enough in the first 5-10 minutes to keep you afloat, And then you just know you can depend upon him. And when you get that in this league, when you get that kind of netminding, he's been extraordinary. And it's not just these pedestrian little 22 save games he's been having to make. He's played so well against analytically the world is the words called the high danger chances or goals saved above expected. All this analytical stuff, which a lot of people think is just mumbo jumbo. The eye test, he's been fantastic. But analytically, he's been among the best in the NHL when it comes to those chances that should be turning on the light. He robs you more often than not, and the team just responds after that.
Speaking of best in the NHL, guy who wears number 8 has been pretty incredible lately, Joe B. And, you know, the bar that he has set throughout his Hall of Fame statue-worthy career just sort of continues to be exceeded. After a pretty dry, you know, half a season plus, all of a sudden he looks like 27-year-old Ovechkin again. We don't have enough words to describe how miraculous and amazing and incredible he is on a nightly basis. What are you seeing differently, not only in the second half of the season, but really this last week plus where he was the NHL's first star?
The energy level has been great, Danny. He's been a really terrific leader, I think. There are so many young, impressionable players on this team now. You know, they talk about the guys who are under 26, that next core, that next generation of capital, and those guys are still watching this guy perform at this level. And I'll be honest, at the beginning of the season, it just didn't look like number 8. It sure has in the last month or so. Last two dozen games, he's gone crazy. He's been scoring goals aplenty, multi-goal games, just so often. Not the last goal in a blowout or the first goal in a lopsided loss. He's been scoring key goals at the right time, leading by example. And all those young guys are like, well, if he can do that at the age of 38, I sure as hell can too. And they've been following in lockstep.
Joe Beninati on the call with Craig Lachlan, Monumental Sports this evening. Got to check them out on the Monumental Network as they will be on the call of the biggest Caps game of the year to date. Joe B., one of the big keys to getting Ovechkin unlocked has been fixing the power play. And if you go back to February 8th, so we're not talking about a small sample here, sir. This is a month and a half. They're 24 of 68 on the power play, about 35%, number one in the NHL. How about it?
Yeah, it's one of the things that's pretty high up on my scorecard, Grant. I mean, you know, I've got notes all over the place, and one that I plan on getting in right off the jump is 41% in the last 7 or 8 games. That's wow. That's really dependable, and they've been incredibly good beyond that. It's just how consistent can you get, and they've made some changes, and all of a sudden now you've got power play goals in 13 of 15 and 16 of 19 and 18 of 22. They were dreadful at the beginning of the season. They were a non-factor in the first 2-3 months, and now they've come on gangbusters. And Kirk Muller, the assistant coach, has been working and browbeating these guys into creating a little bit more motion, a little bit more movement, some new wrinkles to make enemy penalty killers nervous. And all of a sudden now, those guys who are killing penalties are on pins and needles going, are they going to run this option? Are they going to rotate Alex down? Is he going to leave the office? Where is Carlson? Can I find him? And then, you know, when you get an Oshie back or if you have Wilson in the bumper spot, then those guys become that much more active if you've got to honor and pay respect the way you do always to number 8. But the way 74 is shooting now, Carlson's getting a lot more attention. That creates more space for the goal line guys, for the setup guys like a Strome, like a Pacioretty. Guys who are making plays off the wall, McMichael, we're seeing more and more. You know, that gives them more room. It keeps defenders honest, and that power play productivity has been fantastic. The best thing, I guess, Spencer Carberry's been telling us, guys, is even if they have a bad power play early in the game, it doesn't snowball. Whereas at the beginning of the season, if they had one of those, oh, my God, they could barely get the puck in the zone, no shot kind of power plays, you could count on the game being 0 for 4 or 5. Nowadays, if they have one of those bad ones, they're confident enough that they'll bounce back on the next one or the next one, and they've been providing some timely goals.
Joe B. on G&D here on The Fan. Joe, you mentioned Tom Wilson. One of the things that's amazing about this stretch is no one saw it coming. They lose Backstrom early because Kuznetsov gets dealt. Edmondson gets moved. Willie's now suspended. They've been without Protas and Oshie off and on lately. And they just kind of keep chugging along. The kids have been elevated and playing very well. What do you make of the fact that it just seems like, I know it's not this way, but it seems like they're not missing all of the key ingredients when they're not there?
they've learned how to deal with that adversity. I guess the word is resilient. This has been one of the more resilient Caps groups I've seen in many seasons. They've been punched in the nose a lot. There's been a lot on their plate where you'd sit there and go, oh, well, it's time for them to fade. And now you're sitting there going, wow, you know, you laid it out as far as the odds are concerned with a win, without a win. We're heading into the final 3 weeks of the regular season. They're right there. I mean, to the casual observer, it looks like it's going to either be, you know, it's 3-for-2. It looks like it's Philly, Detroit, or Washington for the two remaining spots in the East. Now, that's not a certainty, but it sure looks like it. And you never would have said that considering the bumps and bruises they've had to go through, the different sorts of situations that have happened mid-season and such, when they were nowhere near as competitive as they are right now. Credit to the gang in the room, credit to the coaches behind the bench and everybody involved from a scouting standpoint and such, because they're playing their best hockey at the right time, and all of a sudden, now they're dangerous.
You know that voice. That is the sartorial sovereign, the sultan of suits. I'm going to try this one. The Dalai Lama of drip. Joe Beninati with Grant Nanny here on
Dalai
the fan.
Dalai Lama of drip?
That was a tough one. I'm trying to find a synonym with starts with D. That's hard. Mm. You know, when you're talking about different clothes. Joe B has nice clothes. What's Sonny Milano's status,
Debonair?
Joe B? Debonair could be.
But that's more of an adjective. We could call him
the Dalai
Debonair.
Lama of debonair. I don't know about the Dalai Lama of debonair.
Yeah. They are in conflict.
How about the Duke?
Danny, did you ask me about Sonny Milano? I watched Sonny this morning. I think they're being cautious with him. He's had an injury that kept him on the sideline for quite a while. He did not participate in power play drills this morning. He was skating with Tom Wilson and Ethan Bear, which leads me to believe he's not ready to come back. But the fact that he was out there the entire practice, that he wasn't in a non-contact jersey, to me means that he's not far off. But I don't think tonight, no.
He's been great, by the way. You start to look at some of the guys that have really elevated their game. He had the hat trick, obviously, recently. But what Hendricks LaPierre has given them, Mareshnichenko looks like a star to me. He looks like a potential top six player. I know they don't have a lot of those kids in the system, but they're getting, you know, Beck Malenstein on the fourth line. It's been amazing to me. I think at one point, Joe B., they were using 9 different guys that were 26 or younger. And I don't know that anybody saw this coming, them playing the way they have.
Well, these are the contributions they were hoping for, Grant, and this is what Vice President or President and General Manager Brian McClellan was telling you and anybody who would listen at the beginning of the year, that he wanted to try and thread the needle, make some moves where moves were concerned for the future, but also stay a contender now. And he had to rely upon guys growing up. The maturity level of these young players is being shown now at the right time, and players like LaPierre and McMichael, I think, are very much in the mix for a bright future, and they're getting really intense crash course work now in trying to get into and keep themselves in a playoff race. Those are great from an experiential standpoint. Those are great for those guys to get this kind of study firsthand, and they're watching veteran guys who still have Stanley Cup championship blood in them perform it, and they're now seeing what it takes. That can only be a plus moving forward, and we'll see. The games are going to get even more intense as we go along here. This one with Detroit is huge. The Red Wings are in the midst of a road swing. The Caps here need to take advantage at home and make amends for a misstep. They called the game a month ago in Detroit an outlier. There were a lot of things schedule-wise that might have led you to believe that Detroit was going to put a thumping on, and they did. The Caps want to make amends for that tonight.
Joe B., would you mind telling people the story of Ivan Mareshnichenko, former 20th overall pick?
Yeah, it's a great story. Grant, he was diagnosed with Hodgkin's lymphoma on his 18th birthday. Playing in Europe, I believe he got his chemotherapy treatments in Germany. He had to leave home. He lost almost 30, 35 pounds. His draft stock for the Caps, I don't think the Caps ever wavered on him to select him as they did. I believe it was 20th overall in the first round back in the summer of 22. Mareshnichenko is a shooter. I think his talent, you watch him shoot the puck and you go, wow, he's a wow shooter. And right now I think his summer homework assignment will be to improve as a skater. But I heard you talk about him as a top six forward. He is, in my mind, no doubt that moving forward for the Capitals. His skating will improve. His shot is already big league level. And I think just talking with the coaches, they've said more and more, you know, what's that expression? His IQ, his hockey IQ is very high. Instinctually, he's very, very good. He knows where to go with the puck from a playmaking standpoint. He had all of the makings of a player who was perhaps, you know, a top five kind of pick. And then people backed off a little bit with his illness. He's obviously, knock on wood, in remission and feeling great. He looks very healthy. He's fit. He regained the weight. He's benefited, I think, from time in Hershey, as so many of these guys have. The American Hockey League team in Hershey does a fabulous job. Coach Nelson and his gang down there have done a terrific job of mentoring these guys and getting them ready to perform at the top level. Ivan is a fantastic story. You can't help but root for him.
Joe B., what do they have to do to get 2 points tonight against a tough Detroit team?
Don't fuel Detroit's offense, Danny. No, so that means the play in between the blue lines will be key. If you're Washington and you have the ability to skate free and clear into the Detroit zone, do it. But if there's any chance of a caused turnover, of a forced turnover in neutral zone, that's going to start their offense the other direction. If that's even on the radar, play it safe and dump it in. You know, our analysts, Craig Lachlan, Alan May, Brent Johnson, Al Koken, they'll talk about low event hockey. You want to play a low event game here. You do not want to feed the beast. That Detroit team has forwards who are exceptionally good at stopping on a dime and creating odd man rushes out of your mistakes. If you keep that clean, if you stay out of the penalty box, don't let them fuel up on power play goals, I think you'll be just fine.
Joe B., you mentioned that you thought maybe Danny had broken out the Walton at the start of the conversation. I figured we could end the conversation this way. Danny actually unveiled his carbs to the world today on Grant and Danny.
It's getting there, Joe B.
It's not. I think it's fantastic. But here's what I want from you, Danny,
right,
if you wouldn't mind. I want John Walton and Ken Sabrin interviewing Spencer Carberry.
All right, sure. Welcome. We are here at a Nationals event, which makes this slightly awkward, but we're going to go ahead and do this anyway. Sabs, anything to add? Oh, thanks, Kenny. Appreciate it. Sure, we're going to go ahead. Welcome in, head coach Spencer Carberry here. Spencer, you guys have been playing great hockey lately, 3-0. Went over Winnipeg this past weekend, and of course, you dominated a game that you won 17-16, it felt like, against Vancouver. What's been into the boys?
Yeah, it's, you know, right now we're grinding
Holy
it out.
Smoke.
Oh, don't curse, Joby. We're live. It's the ability that we've got right now to be resilient and continue to attack is I've been so happy for those guys. You know, Osh coming back for us has been massive, and Owe has obviously brought so much to the table, and you know, a couple of teenagers that we picked up on the highway have come in, and
what do you think?
It's been wonderful.
It's not bad, right?
Wow. His Walton is good. His Carberry is way better.
Oh, hello there.
I mean, like, the Carberry is way better than Walton.
Really?
Yeah.
I said earlier today, because he's liking his Josh Harris, and I think he has a good Josh Harris. I said, I think your Carberry.
You've already got Josh Harris, too. Danny, I'm not just blowing sunshine up your skirt. That Carberry is spot on.
Wow, okay.
I'm telling you, the carbs is good.
Spot on.
Well, first, I was very kind, boys. But, Joe B., it felt like it's still in development to me. Like,
no,
I have a couple anchor
words
that are
good. You keep going, that's going to be – you keep going, that's going to be Barkley 1A. It's that good. It's that good.
You and me together,
that's
Joe
awesome.
B. I'm in.
That's awesome.
Hey, thank you, buddy.
Wow,
we don't want to keep you.
Gary.
I know you got to get ready for the game, so we'll let you go. But appreciate you hopping on.
Call a W, brother.
Enjoy this one. We need 2 points.
Fellas, you got it. Let's go get them.
Joe B., best in the biz. He'll be looking sharp and making the right calls tonight on Monumental. Check the game out there if you're in the car. Of course, you can listen here on 106.7 The Fan. They're going to start walking the red carpet in just a few
Any
minutes.
Moment, yeah.
We'll be joined by Rizzo and Davey and JoJo and the whole bunch of Washington Nationals. So keep it right here on Grant and Danny live from the Brighton and the Anthem, where we're alongside the red carpet on the wharf. The gala begins in just a bit.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Great vibes out here at the Wharf, where we are just outside the Brighton. Next to the anthem, Grant and Danny on the Fan. The Nats homecoming gala this evening. They raise a lot of money for charity. Players get to walk the red carpet. It's a fantastic event.
It really is cool, and they've been doing it for a minute now, and they found kind of their sweet spot here at the anthem on the Wharf. It's beautiful in the background. You see all the flags decorating. You see the Nats flags up. All the boats are here. My boy Silas Chris is spinning all the hits for people. Fans are lined up, hanging out. It's a cool vibe, man.
People are excited for the Nats to get going again. Look, we get that this team is not a playoff-caliber team, probably. They're not going to win 90 games or 85 games, but I think people are very excited to have left the last few years in the rear view where you knew it wasn't going to be that good at the big league level, but you also weren't getting a whole lot in the way of the top prospects coming up.
Right.
This year is the last year, hopefully, of this rebuild where at the start of the season – the kids are all in the minors. As the year goes on, you'll see James Wood, who doubled off Mackenzie Gore in the prospect game today. You'll see last year's number two pick Dylan Cruz, and you'll get more Cade Cavalli, who got injured after he came up last year. But Brady House, it's a deeper system. These guys are all now on the verge of the majors. And I think there's just a feeling, some juice within the fan base that maybe this is the corner-turning year. Next offseason, you spend some money, you bring in some big league talent, and you're back to being competitive in the wild card hunt maybe a year from now.
Yeah, think about this. There's a number of looking forward to type milestones for this summer, right? Like when Cade Cavalli comes back, that's a huge deal, right? With the best pitching prospect this organization has had in some time. You already touched on James Wood. When Dylan Cruz comes up, when Brady House comes up, when Trey Lipscomb comes up. It's one of those things where you're going, they haven't had look forward tos in a while. Right? It was, you know, for a couple of years post-World Series, it was let's bring the group that won it as much as possible, try to bring them back. 2020 happened, okay, that stunk. But 21, it'll be fine. And then it wasn't. They underachieved dramatically and had to do a massive sell-off. The rebuild kind of begins in 2022. Not that much to look forward to as they're kind of ripping all the studs away from the foundation. Now you've built it up.
Also, literally, all of the stud players
and the studs
got
too.
Ripped away.
Yeah, a little double entendre right there if you're scoring at home. 2023 kind of began. Right, where we're watching K-Bear Ruiz blossom into an everyday player in front of our eyes. As a hitter, he took massive strides. Watch C.J. Abrams go from, you know, hitting 210 at the bottom of the order to a guy that's going to lead the league in stolen bases in all likelihood this year at the top, looking the part of a potential all-star. Gray takes a step. Gore takes a step. Now you're starting to add, you're piling up enough of these achievements, and you got a team that can be a pain in the butt this year on the way to being pretty damn good within a couple of seasons.
Yeah, I mean, people act like the rebuild just started a couple of years ago. If you think about it, it wasn't planned in 2020 for that pandemic year, post-World Series, where the Nats really didn't get their chance to celebrate as the country shut down. But in 2020, they finished sub-500, didn't make the playoffs. It was the following year, after that sweep at the hands of the Orioles midway through the season, where they sold off. They traded Scherzer, they traded Turner. They kind of blew up the roster. All the veterans on expiring contracts got moved, and they began the reboot of the system. So you're talking about four straight seasons. This will be the fifth straight year where they don't finish 500. And for really the fourth straight year it'll be by design almost, as the rebuild is done with an eye to the future, to add pieces in the system by trading big leaguers, to try to create competition at the minor league level, to boost the quality of the prospect you have that eventually will help them win again. They did this before. When they lost 100 games two straight years, it turned into number one picks for Strasburg in 09 and Harper in 10. They haven't had number one picks. It's not quite to the same extent. But by trading Soto and by moving so many of the veterans, they've gone from having the worst system in baseball to a fringe top 10 type system, certainly top half of the major leagues. You saw some of that talent on display today as you saw an arm throw 102 and one of their top bats double off Mackenzie Gore. And one of the guys deep down the system hit an opposite field home run in the Futures game that they just had today at Nats Park. But how about last year, Danny? They jumped from 55 wins to 71 wins, and they found some things. Like, I wouldn't have thought Lane Thomas was going to be a mainstay, back-to-back player of the year in the organization. To me, that says more about the talent than, you know, in the org than Lane Thomas. But he's now become a legitimately serviceable, credible starting outfielder.
Yeah, borderline 30-20 guy in Major League Baseball. It's a pretty big deal.
So when you bring up Cruz and you bring up Wood and you now have Thomas, part of the rebuild has been unearthing some gems and finding some guys like him, which they got, by the way, for John Lester
should,
in a deal.
Should be brought up every day.
The Cardinals never should have made.
Should be brought up every single day. 100% right. Yeah, I mean, it takes having a little bit of faith, right? Sometimes it hasn't been rewarded. You take a flyer on somebody and the guy doesn't work out. That's baseball. That's sports. That's normal. But for these low cost, in terms of assets spun, either a late round draft pick that blossoms into an everyday big leaguer like organizations have all the time, or again, a throwaway deal at the 11th hour at 4, like the deadline's at 4, the deal isn't consummated until 4:07, and Major League Baseball is like, okay, fine, we'll let you do that. And you get Lane Thomas back, a guy that should have been an all-star last year. It's how organizations get built. It's how good things happen, where you have a lot of planning, a lot of you know, good by design things, and a couple get lucky things too. Lane Thomas is a get lucky.
Looking forward to catching up with Mike Rizzo, Davey Martinez, Josiah Gray, and more as they stroll the red carpet starting here in about 7 or so minutes on Grant and Danny here on The Fan. Big news in the NFL today was that the National Football League voted 29-3. 29 owners said yes to 3 that said no, passing and approving a massive revamp to the kickoff, the likes of which we have not seen. We've not seen a change to the aesthetics in football like this in decades, but at a 29-3 clip, it has gone through. The XFL kickoff will be used in the National Football League. So here's what I'm interested in, Danny. Do we see teams start to operate differently from a roster building standpoint? The Steelers almost immediately
today, who did they sign?
They go out and they get a kick returner in Cordarrelle Patterson.
Right away.
Who's been one of the best kick returners in the National Football League over the last few years. I wonder if you're going to start to see teams prioritizing and spending a little more in the return game.
I definitely think you will.
You may not have needed to. Just whoever our fourth, fifth wide receiver is, he can catch the kickoff and put his hand in the air and, you know, call a fair catch, do whatever he needs to do. Oh, so be it. Now, you could probably make the case, if there's going to be more returns, upwards of 4, 5, 6 a game like there was in the XFL, maybe I actually need to think more about that, and someone could make my roster that wouldn't have before, which I like.
Yeah, one kick return per game, which is what teams are averaging for the most part, like 1.1 to 1.6 per game. You don't really have to do much there. Now, if it's going to be a factor, then yeah, you absolutely should include it in roster development and building and inclusion. Make sure you have somebody that could do it at a good enough level. I mean, it's not like you've got a bunch of Brian Mitchells running around. They only make a handful of those guys. But prioritizing it is absolutely reasonable, especially for teams that, you know, want to be competitive.
I just wonder if we're going to start to see a shift where all of a sudden that, you know, 4.39 40 guy that might not be able to help you as a receiver becomes your seventh guy.
Can help you that way.
Because that was what it was back in the day. That's how it went. I'm thinking of, you remember Kazmir Allen?
Of course.
Who everybody loved for Washington, who scored, you know, 50-some touchdowns in his high school season. He's got these crazy numbers, and he was one of the great return men in college. It's like 5'8", 175, was on the team. Preseason shined last year. He's still in the organization. Does his chances, to a guy like that, to make a squad enhance exponentially because all of a sudden it doesn't really matter if you can help me as a receiver or not.
Right.
You're actually going to be able to impact the game.
You're
going to
get 5 touches a game.
Yeah, you couldn't before. It was 0 before.
Right. So you would think so. I mean, ideally, for roster construction purposes, whoever your third or fourth receiver is, like your slot guy, also does it, and then that's that. But in terms of, you know, if you're not built that way, like if you're the Chargers of the last several years, where you've got nothing but big receivers and Mike Williams, Keenan Allen, somebody like that, yeah, then you're going to have to dedicate a roster spot to somebody that can really do it, right?
Would you be okay with them drafting someone who could do that?
As long as it's not in the top few rounds.
Well, of course not.
You know, but
I'm
yes.
I'm just saying a flyer, like the fastest guy in the draft who had three or four returns
100%.
The last couple of years for touchdowns.
100%.
Sixth, seventh round, where they basically draft him saying, okay, kick returns matter again. We're going to have this guy as our kick returner.
100%. It's the type of thing where you're you know, at the kind of fifth round and later, that's what you're literally throwing a dart at the board. You know what I mean? You're almost doing it like the Major League Baseball draft where you're drafting an attribute. Like, this guy's got a strong throwing arm. We'll take him in, you know, whatever the late round, like a 17th, 18th, 19th rounder. The guy has a lot of exit velo off his swing. We'll just take him. This guy can run. You do that. You find someone that can, you know, do one thing at that point. The likelihood of him making your football team isn't great anyway.
Yeah.
Why not have this very specific skill set in mind? That's forward thinking. I have no issue with that.
I'd actually go beyond saying I'm okay with it. I would do it. Like, that to me... I believe, and maybe I'm overselling how big of a deal it's going to be this year, this new kickoff rule, but I think this is going to be now a league where kickoffs matter, and you can get a huge advantage if you rip a couple off. I just go back to the numbers within the XFL, and I brought some of these up when we were talking about this earlier in the show, but if you line up the 8 XFL teams with the 32 NFL teams, 1 through 40, the top 8 teams in returns per game were this old kickoff in the XFL. A team like Orlando that was aggressive in bringing it out, 5.6 returns per game.
Mm-hmm.
If you're an NFL team that scores a lot, or in this case, I guess you'd have to be defensive, allowing a lot of points so teams are kicking off against
right,
you,
yeah.
You're giving a guy 5 or 6 chances to break a return. And in the XFL, pretty routinely, 1 or 2 per game, returns would get past the 35, 40, 45-yard line up towards midfield. I would absolutely go into the draft with my return board and get to a point late in the draft where I go, all right, who's our best return man? Let's go find
him. Yeah, I make a play in that regard. I'm with you.
We're going to try to catch up with the president of baseball ops, Mike Rizzo, in just a couple of moments. He's walking the red carpet. I see Sean Doolittle streaming down the red carpet as well. Anthony Williams, who's one of the honorees tonight, the former mayor of Washington, D.C., is starting to walk the red carpet as we speak. So business is picking up. Screech and the presidents are going nuts. Grant and Danny, with you on the fan, will be catching up with the Prez, the manager, some of the players decked out in their finest gear tonight, walking the red carpet as we continue on the fan.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
Welcome back to Grant and Danny on the Fan. We are live at the red carpet outside the gala. The Nationals starting to make their way into their season opening event. Fans streamed along the fences, 3-4 rows deep, getting autographs and pictures. As players come through, we'll grab them and bring them over. I think Mike Rizzo is going to join us in just a moment. But it is a beautiful day. Baseball is back. Feels like spring again.
Oh, it does. It's perfect. It's gorgeous out. And you know what's so funny is, like, there's always a moment because we're so used to seeing baseball players in their baseball uniform. I know that sounds stupid, but when guys walk by, you could see a lot of fans, even, you know, Nationals fans who are here, they know the Nationals, are going, wait, that's Victor Robles, right? Like, they're having to, like, double check just because these dudes are wearing these, like, you know, $5,000 suits with all the accoutrements and they look amazing. But so out of uniform, it's jarring for a second, right, at first. But it is cool, man. Everybody dresses to the nines. The players seem to enjoy themselves coming to it, and the fans are obviously here rocking and rolling.
It is officially spring, not only because we're at a Nats event, but I was just thinking about this. The Caps have this massive game tonight
yeah,
as
that's
well.
True. Yep.
And last year we didn't get one of these, right?
No.
I mean, they struggled. They're already getting ready to surpass last year's points total. Very different spot organizationally. But this is kind of the rite of passage around here as the weather warms up a little bit. You start getting ready for playoff hockey, which if they win tonight, about a 75% chance mathematically that they'll get in, coinciding with Thursday's opening day. So we made it. It's a nice little change of place, pace. It's refreshing. Obviously, the NFL offseason's still ongoing. League meetings this week. Commanders had a big free agency.
That's right.
Now they're getting ready for the draft, but this is about as good as it gets.
Hey, you'll see a tournament, by the way, mixed in every weekend. Your dance card is full. It's the best, man. Listen, nothing beats the fall, start of football, and then preceding start, you know, championships in baseball and a couple other sports, things like that. That's the best because the weather's perfect, but I'm telling you, this is a decent second place time of year for sports. There's lots to do and lots to see.
Speaking of the NCAA tournament, I'm perfectly fine with the lack of upsets. I think we had just enough. We had some great stories, right? The Fighting Golkies knocking off Kentucky. They had a buzzer beater to force an overtime. In a one seed, almost get eliminated.
Yep.
But by way of all the ones and twos advancing, best eight teams in the tournament are on to the Sweet 16. And of the 16 remaining teams, 10 of the top 12 teams in the bracket, all but two of the three seeds, Kentucky getting eliminated, obviously. And they were boom or bust. I think a lot of people felt like that was possible. But we had a couple of stunners. You had Yale over Auburn.
Yale beat Auburn for 2-6.
Just enough to kind of whet the appetite in that regard. But now I think we're set up for an actual strong stretch run here with 10 of the 12 best teams in America coming in, remaining in the Sweet 16.
One of my mildly lukewarm, I'd say, maybe even tepid sports takes, you could even call it mildly hot, I suppose, is this is actually what it should look like. There's some upsets. That's always wonderful. That's always fun. When it's too many, like last year's Final Four, who was in it? Right now, top of your head, if you're listening to the show.
Yeah.
Who was in it? Ford Atlantic was in it. A couple other teams. It's not memorable that way. The upsets are awesome, but they're fleeting. It's like that sugar hot, right? What ends up lasting and being more fun are the juggernaut-type games, some of the upsets sprinkled in. They need to be just enough to then make sure that they're still special.
We're joined now by Mike Rizzo, the president of baseball operations for the Washington Nationals, as they are walking the red carpet. Rizzo getting ready to make his way in to the anthem for this annual gala. Mike, you look great as always. Good to see you again.
Thank you, guys. It's a nice night to dress up for
yeah,
a good
bad,
cause.
Right?
You guys do a lot. This has become a kind of a must-attend event for Nats fans. Very, very cool for them to get the opportunity to see everybody walking in. But it is for a really good cause, as you mentioned as well.
Oh, definitely. You know, what the philanthropies do with the Nationals is outstanding. And Marla Tannenbaum is the driver behind that. And what she has done and her group have done throughout this throughout the history of the Nationals is immense. It's incredible and really not spoken about it enough, in my opinion.
So the preamble today, I think, is so cool. I love that this is what's happening now. I love that you guys are doing this. The kids get a chance to, like, James Wood has a big league base hit in a major league ballpark. You know, kids are throwing from the big league mound, recording their first strikeout in a major league park. I think this is so awesome. What's your favorite part about today, the preamble, the kids versus the big leaguers?
I just, you know, you see them in their future environment.
Yeah.
I think that's what it's all about. You know, there's none of these guys, you know, Cruzy and Woody, they're not awed by, you know, Nationals Park or any baseball field. Mm-hmm. They've been there, done that. They've been through a lot of events and that type of thing. But it's good for them to see the dimensions, see the ballpark, see the angles and that type of thing. And it was just fun to see all the prospects that you hear about, from low-A rookie league prospects to, you know, to guys that are, you know, sniffing the big leagues together on one team, you know, playing against the big league team.
Yeah, that was amazing today over at Nats Park, including Arlene Susana. I mean, he looked like a big league closer. Touched 102.
Phil.
Had a plus breaking ball, struck out the side, nearly messed around, had an immaculate inning. That kind of stole the show a little bit there.
Yeah, you know, he's flashed that before. He's got a big league changeup also that he didn't break out today. But you know, he's a three pitch guy that has incredible stuff. That's a very young, inexperienced pitcher that we've got to log innings to. And you know, we're going to run him out there every 5 days and get his reps in and get his work in.
You guys made the final roster decision today. Trey Lipscomb was sent down to the minor leagues. Mm-hmm. There was some growing speculation maybe he'd make the roster as the opening day second baseman. Didn't happen. Why not?
Well, he made it tough for us to send him down, didn't he? Which is a testament to him. He's a good ball player. He's going to be a good big leaguer in the near future. We felt that, you know, he logged a lot of innings. His whole career he's played third base. We threw him at second base at the beginning of spring training. Took to it like a duck out of water. But we want him to experience some more live games at second base. And you know, he had about 400 at bats or so, you know. He's only had about 400 at bats or so above the Double A level, so we're sending him to Triple A. We're sending James Wood to Triple A and get their feet wet and send you know, the rest of those really good prospects to Harrisburg for a short period of time and get them all together again in Triple A.
For this roster that you guys have constructed opening up this Thursday, what are you most comfortable with, and what's the one thing you go, I'm not sure about this, how this is going to go?
Well, you know, it's all about the pitching for me. You know, starting pitching is king, and you know, can we control the strike zone? Can we command the baseball? Can we get deeper in the games than we did last year? That takes the onus off a bullpen. So it's always starting pitching for me. It's always my favorite part of the game. It's always the most worrisome part of the game. You never have enough. You never have, you know, good enough or the quantity enough. And we're looking for those guys to take their next step forward in their progression as big league starting pitchers. Now they pitched, you know, incredibly good for us last year, you know, taking the next step. They all finished the season in great standing. You know, they logged more innings than they ever have. They finished the season somewhere between 27 and 30 starts, which is what we wanted to do. This year, training wheels are off for those young starters. Every fifth day or so, they're going to take the ball and see if they can make another progression to becoming a real elite major league rotation.
Last thing, Mike, with some of the top guys you sent down, could they be up pretty quickly if they prove they're ready, or do you view it as maybe later into the season? What's your mindset?
You know, I've always had an open mind about that. You know, we've brought up 19-year-old guys and 28-year-old guys, you know, to make their big league debuts. So, you know, I always there's no blueprint or timetable for when you get to the big leagues. But you know, we always say that if you get brought up to the big leagues when you've mastered your level in the minor leagues, when you're acquiring him to the big league level will impact the team and also increase your developmental curve at the big league level. So I think when that happens, we're certainly not afraid to call up anybody. And we've shown in the past that chronological age has really nothing to do with it.
Mike, thank you as always, man. Really enjoyed tonight.
Pleasure, guys. Always.
See you, buddy.
Have a blast. Mike Thanks. Rizzo of the Nationals, our coverage from the red carpet continues next on Grant and Danny.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.